All right, well, let's take our Bibles and let's do this. All right. Still praying about where to go on Wednesdays, and you may be frustrated about that, but I promise you, you're no more frustrated than me, okay? Still praying about where to go. I have a few things, of course, on my mind, but just praying about which one it is and praying for perfect peace about these different subjects, different books to look into, because I want to be a help. What's best and beneficial? I want to be a help. Of course, we know the Word of God's going to help us, but where to go specifically for us on Wednesday evenings. So just continue praying, if you will, and I appreciate that very, very much. So again, what I'd like to do this evening is go back to the book of Psalms, okay? Because like I said last time, I was taught early on, if you didn't know where exactly to go preach, go to the Psalms, find a psalm, and you'll find some help. And so that's where we'll be this evening, is in the book of Psalms, and we'll be actually in Psalm 40, all right? Psalm 40 this evening. And as you're turning back to the book of Psalms, I do want you to know that the book of Psalms is really a book of songs, all right? Like a song book, much like our hymn book today. But it's like a song book. And this is why I truly believe as well that it's very important for us as a church to have songs that we sing, either as solo, just like a minute ago, or collectively, or whatever. The songs that we choose to sing be songs that are full of doctrine and truth, because that's what the Psalms are, right? It is full of truth, because it is truth. It's the Word of God. And so the songs that we sing need to be the same. Doctrinally sound songs. Just as the Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And according to that verse, songs that we sing should teach us. They should admonish us. They should instruct and encourage us. But how can that happen? How can songs instruct, teach, and encourage? Well, if they're full of truth and doctrine, that's how, all right? And so that's why it's important to have good songs like that. And because, listen, these psalms were just those. They were good doctrinal songs. And many times in the congregation or even privately, Hebrews would sing them. And so that's what the book of Psalms is. It's a song book, all right? Now, many of you probably already know, when it comes to the Psalms, that David wrote most of them. I believe it's around 80 he penned, or at least is accredited to being the human penman of those. But there's other authors as well. Other authors such as Solomon, he had a hand in a few of those. Solomon being David's son. The sons of Korah, we know that they wrote some of the songs. Asaph wrote some of them as well. Even Moses penned Psalm 90. At least he's accredited to have penned that one, be the human penman. And there was actually another penman. I think it's He-Man, but I call him He-Man because of the cartoon I watched growing up, all right? But anyways, but he was also a human author, a penman, to one of these psalms. But the vast majority of the psalms are penned by King David, written by David himself, and that's why he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. But he penned the majority of them. And the ones we know he penned, we can see many things from those psalms. We can read of many great victories that he would write about and sing about that he had in his life. And when you read those songs of victory, it should help us, encourage us, and strengthen us when we have our battles, knowing that our God is still the same, he can still give victory. He wrote psalms of deliverance, and that should encourage us as well. When we have struggles, either daily or whatever, we have struggles, and we look at these psalms, they should help us, encourage us, instruct us, that we too can have deliverance from our present troubles. We can also see the different psalms of hardships that he faced. Again, should encourage us as believers when we read them to see that even through those hardships, God brought him through them. And it should help, help us in our daily difficulties. But one of the most important things we're going to read in the Psalms that were penned by David is this. We see that of our great God, and especially his great faith that he had in our great God. trusting the Lord through it all. And so that should encourage each and every one of us. When you read them, that should encourage each and every one of us to trust in the Lord no matter what, good, bad, or the ugly. We can trust Jesus. But as I read these Psalms, you know what really sticks out to me, especially as the Psalms from David. What really sticks out to me is David is not putting on a show. He's not trying to impress people with his rhetoric or his poetic ability, nothing like that. He's not putting on a show. No, he's just writing from his standpoint in that moment, whether in that moment he's frustrated, in that moment he's down, in that moment he's joyful, whatever it is, he is writing in that moment. Again, the good, bad, and the ugly. David was just a man. Just a human being like you and I. And like you and I, he was given many victories, but yet he also faced many struggles. But he writes about them all. He's just being real. And so in these Psalms, David was just bearing his heart, being honest, being real. And Psalm 40 is one of them. Psalm 40, David is just bearing his heart, having one of those real moments, just telling about his real struggle, because we find in Psalm 40, we're reading just a minute, we find him in a very difficult situation, a situation that he says was a horrible pit. Now, pits during his time, referred to in the Bible, many of them were like prisons, okay? And in some of these pits in the scriptures, there were no openings except for just the hole they would place the individual down into. There'd be no door, no window. And if you were very much claustrophobic, well, you would not want to be put in one of these pits, because that's pretty much what it was like. A small, dry well. All right, picture that in your mind. And that was a pit. Some of these pits as well served as an active sewer system. And so you can imagine sewage coming at your feet where you're standing or sitting. That would be the pit that you'd be placed in. So you could imagine the nastiness an individual would have to sit through or be in as they're in a deplorable, disgusting state of a pit. And so for him to say it was horrible, I think that's what he's getting at. A horrible, disgusting, deplorable pit. Horrible meaning that which brings about the feeling or emotion of dread or fear. That's the horribleness that he was in this moment. He was in a pit like none other. But I don't think it was an actual physical pit that he was in. I don't think the pit he was in was necessarily a hardship that was brought upon him by his enemies. I don't think it was one of the times that he was in where he's running for his life like he was from other times of the Psalms he wrote when he was asking for deliverance and those kind of things. It would seem that this pit that David was in was more of a figurative, if I can say it that way, really maybe even a spiritual pit, okay? Maybe he was in a time of life when he was just struggling emotionally, mentally, and yes, even spiritually. Maybe he was so discouraged about everything that was around him, discouraged in his circumstances, and maybe even facing some form or some kind, if I dare say it, depression. He was in a horrible pit. But whatever David was facing in his life at this moment, one thing was for sure, David was in the pits. So I'm going to put it this way tonight, all right? David was down in the dumps. You ever find yourself there? Down in the dumps? Anybody? Okay, two of us, three of us, all right. Find yourself there sometimes. And I'll be first one to tell you, I don't like it. It seems like there's no way out, just like a pit. There is no window to look out, get some fresh air, like a pit. There's no door to exit, like a pit. So it almost seems that's kind of what he's getting at in Psalm 40. He's in a horrible pit. Why? He's struggling. He's struggling. Now, maybe you're like me and you've had the thought and read a verse like that, or in a minute we'll read it, but hear a phrase at least like that about King David being in a horrible pit, and he's struggling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and other things. He's just struggling. You think, now wait a minute, this is David, right? You know, King David, the one who even God himself said he was a man after God's own heart. I mean, this is King David, a huge spiritual giant, a godly man, perfect? No, not in the slightest, but still yet a man who regarded the Lord in his life and feared God. This is David. He was the greatest king of all of Israel, and all the kings were compared to him. This is David we're talking about. And you're saying, Pastor Philip, that he was in a horrible pit, that he was struggling? Not this David, come on. Well, yes, this David. This David was struggling. Listen, this, because he was a godly man, because he was a man who feared God, was after God's own heart, that did not exempt him from discouragement or difficulty, or as he says, a horrible pit. Because again, like you and I, he had struggles, he had his moments, he had his times being down and being down in the dumps. But the question I have as I read this psalm here in a minute is, what do you do when you find yourself down in the dumps? When you find yourself in a horrible pit, what do you do? Now, I know some folks don't think they should ever be down and out. Don't ever think you should be down in the dumps, because after all, you're saved. What's wrong with you? I appreciate that, you know. But again, because we're saved does not exempt you from difficulties, hardships, being down in the dumps. You're not exempt from them. Actually, I believe the Bible even promises that we're going to have those times. Yes. We've talked about that on Sunday mornings, especially going through the book of 1 Peter, the persecution, different things they're facing. And that's a promise. You know, troubled times are a promise from Scripture. But some folks think you should never have them. That's just not true. But the question I want to answer this evening is, what do you do when you find yourself down in the dumps? Well, let's look at David. Let's see what David did, all right? So Psalm 40, look at it with me, and we'll read verse 1 and 2, okay? The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. I put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear shall trust in the Lord. Our fathers, we look to your word this evening. I pray you'd help us. Help me to teach, help me to preach, because Lord, without you I can do nothing. And Lord, if there's one here, it just feels like they're just down in the dumps, I pray that you'd encourage them tonight. That you lift them up, as David said, out of a miry clay, out of a horrible pit, and set their feet upon a rock and establish their goings. God, help us, I pray, in this moment, as we look at Psalm 40, especially in the first few verses, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want to see this evening, as we're considering this title of being down in the dumps, is number one, here's what David did. He waited patiently for the Lord. Verse number one again, look at it. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, this is something I think we could all agree on, that patience and patiently waiting is hard. Be honest. Please help me tonight. Anybody struggle with waiting and patience, please raise your hand. Let me see it, okay? I'm among friends, praise the Lord, okay? I do too. I struggle with the waiting. I struggle with patiently waiting. Listen, patience is not my spiritual gift, okay? And waiting can be very and extremely difficult, and especially during times when just down and out and you're struggling. Now, we all know we live in a day and age and where immediate gratification is taught as a must, or really is all that matters. It's the I want it now type of thing, or really I wanted it yesterday. Really, that's where we're at now in the day in which we live. This kind of mentality can be very dangerous. Rushing into something, it can get us into a lot of trouble, because sometimes we find ourselves in a tough spot and that may be out of our control. And if we try to get ahead of God while you're facing those difficulties, listen, you're going to get yourself into more hot water. What do you do then? Wait patiently for the Lord. Now listen to these verses. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 130:5, I waited for the Lord, so my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Isaiah 40:31, we know this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lamentations 3:25-26, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Romans 5:1-5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen for that. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. In Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We must wait upon the Lord. Now, I'm also not going to pretend that waiting upon the Lord is an easy thing. But I will tell you this, waiting upon the Lord is the right thing. It's okay to say amen right there, all right? It's the right thing to wait upon the Lord. You remember Job, right? We can look at Job's life. I've been reading through the book of Job and in the middle of it there now, but reading through the book of Job and just seeing all the things that he has transpired, gone through, and seeing the discouragement he has suffered, even from not only the circumstances, but also his so-called friends and even his own wife. He's just discouraged all around. And I'm telling you, he's really going through it. Just down in the dumps. I mean, he lost his farm, his finances, his family, endured hardship after hardship. Friends were so discouraging. And yet, Job waited upon the Lord. Job was patient. And even the Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse 11, uses Job as a litmus test of patience. When it says this in James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But how could James write about the patience of Job some thousands of years later and point back to him as a litmus test and as a pattern of patience? Well, it's because through the tribulation, as Romans tells us, or through the hardships and difficulties that he went through, Job learned to wait upon the Lord. Job, finding himself in a pit, could do nothing else but simply wait. Again, Romans chapter 5, verse 4, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. This is how Job became, again, the litmus test of patience, because when he went through the wringer, and as he was going through it, he would wait, and he did wait for the tender mercy of God. And maybe the Lord is trying to teach us, even through down in the dumps times that we do face, trying to teach us of his tender mercy, of his love, of his compassion, of his kindness, which we will learn as we patiently wait upon the Lord. Now, when we talk about patience and we talk about waiting, especially waiting, we talk about waiting, keep in mind when we talk about that and we say that, I don't think it's when we wait, like we go to the doctor's office and you have to wait for your name to be called to go back, right? And anybody like me, you're very much impatiently waiting to have your name called. You were on time, the doctor's not, right? Anybody, okay, anybody else's doctor that way? Oh, I just, okay, anyway. But you're sitting there impatiently waiting, either on scrolling on your phone, looking through a magazine, and you're like, good night, I've been sitting here for so long, what's going on? That's not the wait that we're talking about, all right? So when you think of waiting, don't think of a waiting room. Rather, I think waiting here, especially as we see in Psalm 40, when David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, I think that waiting is more like this. It's more like an anticipation. You're anticipating. You're waiting expectantly. You're to anticipate God to work and to move and to fulfill really His promises on our behalf. Waiting and knowing God will come through. And here's the key to it. In His time, not ours. That's the hard part, right? We can anticipate God doing something, working, do something, but in His time. That's the I waited patiently part for the Lord. So the more intense your situation, I want to encourage you to intently, the more so intently wait upon the Lord and wait for Him to fulfill His promises in your life. You remember Moses, of course, in the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. This is exactly what the Hebrews had to do. And when they came to this, really stuck between a rock and a hard place, quite literal. But they had to patiently wait, anticipating and expecting God to work on their behalf. Because surely God did not bring them out to the edge of the Red Sea just for Pharaoh and his men to slaughter them there, right? Surely not. So they had to wait patiently in that moment for God to prove or really to fulfill His promises. And here's what Moses told the people along those lines. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Moses was saying, listen, stop your fussing, stop your fretting, stop your whining. God's going to fulfill His promises. You just have to wait for His timing. So I encourage you this evening to wait. Wait patiently upon the Lord because He will come through in His timing. What did David say in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So I completely understand, and I'm completely with you. Waiting is very difficult. It's a hard part. But I'm telling you, getting ahead of God is far harder. There's pain in waiting. But there's greater pain in getting ahead of God. So I would take the lesser pain. Just wait upon the Lord. So what did David do? He found himself down in the dumps. Man, he was struggling. What did he do? Patiently waited for the Lord. Number two, he did this. And be of good cheer. This is my last point. All right, I only had 2 points tonight. Okay, you're welcome. But this is the last point. Point number two. He did this. Look at verse number one. I waited patiently for the Lord. Amen. Great. Okay, what else do I need to do? And He, that's God, inclined unto me and heard my cries. Number two, he did this. He cried unto the Lord. He waited for the Lord and he cried unto the Lord. He said, He heard my cry. Let me ask you a question. Why is it when we find ourselves down in the dumps, highly discouraged, just completely struggling, that the last thing we want to do is pray? Why is it that we turn from the very God who wants to help us in those moments of life? Why is it we try to find peace and help and direction in everything else and from other people other than the one who can truly help us? Why do we do that? You know, my kids do this sometimes. Not long ago, I watched Josie try to take a hair bow type scrunchie out of one of her doll's hair. And it did not work out so well. I was watching it getting worse and worse and worse, seeing her get more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated. But I'm just watching. I'm like, I'm over here. I'm like, I'm a fixer. And so I see a problem, and I know the answer, and I can fix it. I want to jump in and do it. So I'm over here like antsy. You know, I'm like, what? Just let me help you. I can fix this. But I said, Josie, can I help you with it? No, I got it. All right. So I'm like almost rocking back and forth, like, okay, you know, and waiting. And finally, she got so frustrated and said, Dad, can you please help me? I said, yes, you know, jump over and try to help her. But listen, sometimes my kids will do that, and I'm their dad, and I can help them. But how much more do we do that when our Heavenly Father is waiting to help us, is waiting for us to ask Him? As David cried unto the Lord. Look, turning away from God is not the right pattern for a successful New Testament Christian. No, we must turn to Him. If you remember in Acts chapter 12, the church found themselves in a very, well, it's a huge dilemma, all right? Persecution was on the rise, and they'd already arrested James and Peter. And they just killed Peter, they killed James. Got him flopped there. They killed James. And then Peter was next. But what did they do? Fearing that Peter would be beheaded, he'd be martyred, he'd be killed. What did they do? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, verse number 5, Peter therefore is kept in prison, but everybody did their own thing trying to get him out. See what it says? No, it says, but Peter is kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Meaning they turned to God and immediately when he heard about the martyrdom of James and imprisonment of Peter, and they turned to God who can help them and fix it. They turned to the Lord and cried out to God. And we know the rest of the story, how the angel of the Lord came and got him loose, got him out of prison. And he showed up at Mary's house, his John Mark's mother's house, where everybody was praying. All because they turned to God. And listen, it was in that moment that the Lord brought these people, even Peter himself, out of a horrible pit. I'm glad we sang that first song where it says, I need thee every hour. So I'm telling you, we need the Lord every single day. But especially when you find yourself in a horrible pit and you find yourself down in the dumps, you need the precious, sweet Savior, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, residing with you, giving you peace in the midst of it all. We need the Lord. In Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalm 120, verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. Psalm 30, verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Psalm 142, verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication over and over and over again. You can look at King David crying unto the Lord in the midst of a horrible time of life. Don't turn away from God in those moments. Rather turn to Him. I don't care if those times are self-inflicted or not. You still turn to God, not away. Because He's very much aware of your situation. Even very much aware if you're the one that got yourself in that situation. He ain't surprised by it. So you can turn to Him. As a loving Father, you can turn to your God. Turn to Him. David knew that. He was in a horrible pit. He was in the miry clay. But he turned to the Lord. And look what the Bible says. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He will hear. He will incline unto you. He means come to you. He will if you turn unto him. So this evening, let me ask you again. Are you down in the pits? Are you down in the dump? Highly discouraged to the point, you know, what to do or even why you feel like you do. Down in the dumps. If so, I want you to know you're not alone. There's others that face the same type of times and seasons of life. And one of those we even saw tonight, King David himself, went through that season of life. But David did this, and I encourage all of us, including myself, to do the same, to wait patiently upon the Lord and to cry out unto Him. And once David did that, we can see these verses. Look at verse number 3. "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto..." Turn your pit into praise, He can.